in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Oh Father, we worship you, we love you, we adore you, we honor and reverence your presence in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of communion with you. Thank you, Father. We are gathered once more. We are gathered this evening unto you. For it is written, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Transform us. Transport us to the next and higher dimension. Next and higher level of glory. He said, we all beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. We are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. Thank you, Father. We receive divine illumination, divine insight, divine instructions, divine impartations leading to transformation and miraculous manifestations by your word and by your spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. I say, clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord. Is somebody excited to be in the house of God? Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated. I welcome you in God's presence. Welcome to day 8. Today is day 8 of our 14 days. Of what? 14 days what? Glory and fire. 40 days of glory and fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We said fire is a manifestation of God's glory. We saw that in Exodus chapter 24, where the Bible says the appearance of God's glory was like a devouring fire in the sight of the children of Israel. When Moses went up to the Mount Sinai, he was summoned by God to collect the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, as the children of Israel watched the appearance of God's glory. That's Exodus 24, verse 15. Exodus 24, verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. That's a cloud of God's glory, Shekinah glory. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, God, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And look at verse 17, where I'm going. And let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the sight. No. Some of you are not reading. Oh, yeah, let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like what? Devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gathered him up into the mountain. Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. Moses was basking in that glory cloud, enjoying fellowship, communion with God. And the Bible says the sight of the glory cloud was like a devouring fire. That's one of the scripture we got this, our 14 days of glory and fire from. Am I communicating? This is one of the scripture for the basis of that glory and fire. The program that we are currently on. Today is day 8. Give me Isaiah chapter 10. I'll give you two scriptures as a basis for the glory and fire, prayer and fasting. The second scripture is Isaiah chapter 10 verse 16. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 16. Glory to God. It says, therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness. Look at the B part. I'm interested in the B part. And under his glory, he shall what? Kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. Under his glory, he shall what? Kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. So, part of the department of God's glory is fire. Am I communicating? It says, under his glory, he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. So welcome to day 8 of what? Glory and fire prayers with fasting program. Glory to God. Like I told you, I said this 14 days is not long. By the time we reach Sunday, we are done. So if you've not been taking the prayer and fasting seriously, you should be more serious now. Am I communicating? You should maximize this opportunity. Do you know this is an opportunity to make serious progress in every area of your life? It's an opportunity for your spiritual growth. Because it is expected at this period, you should feed on the word of God like never before. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? It's an opportunity for you to feed fat on God's word. When we say we are fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, let me say 6:30 p.m. Now, what we mean is that this 12 hours fast or so, 12-13 hours fast, the purpose of it is so that you can give yourself to spiritual things. Am I communicating? We say fasting is a deliberate abstinence. Fasting is a deliberate abstinence from food and pleasure, from food and pleasurable activities, so that you will give your time and attention to spiritual things, so that you can give your time and attention to the word of God, to prayer, to seeking God's face, so that you can give your time and attention to God's word and to prayers, give attention to communion, fellowship, intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit, so that you can give your time and attention to listening to messages, faith building messages, spirit filled messages. Am I communicating? So that you can spend time worshiping God. You focus on spiritual things. Because the fact that you are not eating food when you are fasting does not make your fast spiritual. What makes your fasting spiritual and scriptural is that you are using that period to concentrate on God and the things of God. You are not eating physical food so that you can feed on the spiritual food of God's word. In Luke 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you are not eating physical food, you are not nourishing this physical body with physical food during the fasting period, so that you can feed your spirit fat on the diet of God's word. You can nourish your spirit strong on the diet of God's word. My problem with some people during fasting is that they are not eating physical food, and then they are still not eating spiritual food. So why are you wasting time then? You are supposed to be eating the spiritual food of God's word. Am I communicating? You are supposed to be feeding on the rich diet of God's word. But if you are not eating physical food during the fast, which is okay, but when you are not eating spiritual food, and then you are not praying, your fast is actually a hunger strike. It's not a true fasting. It's hunger strike. You know, some people are funny when they are fasting. They are not reading Bible. They are not listening to messages. They are not feeding on God's word. They are not spending time in prayer. They are not spending time in worship. No fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They are just buying time, marking time. They will be checking. Time, is it still 12? Is it that this clock know they work? You know they move, ne? You understand? They will sleep. Sleep for like 3 hours. Then wake up. Just 3 p.m.? This sleep, why sleep? Why it is a time not supposed to reach 4? Are you getting me? You're wasting your time. You should just carry food and eat. That's the truth. Just look for food and eat. What you are doing is hunger strike. It does not have spiritual value. Hunger strike does not have spiritual value. You should eat food. Because when you are fasting, you are supposed to be feeding on God's word, and you are supposed to be spending time in prayer. Extra time in prayer. Extra time studying and meditating on God's word. Am I communicating? Extra time listening to messages from that Telegram channel. It is expected that your spirituality should be intensified and amplified when you are fasting. You should focus on spiritual things. You should develop spiritual sensitivity to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit, so that you receive spiritual instructions. You receive instructions from God during the fast. You receive direction. You are supernaturally empowered. Am I communicating? You build momentum. Fasting is a great opportunity for you to grow spiritually. You build capacity, spiritual capacity. You develop spiritual capacity. Am I communicating? You gain stature, spiritual stature. You build spiritual stamina. Your faith is built. Your spiritual life becomes buoyant and robust. Your spirit man is robust when you are fasting. Glory to God. So it is no hunger strike. This is very important. So, when you are fasting, it's not about what you are not doing. It is also about what you are supposed to do. Did you hear what I just said? When you are fasting, there are things you should not do. Then there are things you must do. For instance, when you are fasting, we say fasting is deliberate abstinence from food and pleasurable activities, right? So, you are not eating physical food. You are not nourishing this physical body with physical food when you are fasting. You are not feeding your flesh with all those pleasurable activities that you will have done usually. Movies, football, all those things, social media, spending so much time there. All those things that you do for fun and for pleasure, you are not doing them when you are fasting. Now, I said there are things you should not do when you are fasting, then there are things you must do. What are the things you must do? You must focus on spiritual things. You must give yourself to God's word. You study God's word intentionally. You spend extra time studying and meditating on God's word. You spend time feeding on God's word, nourishing your spirit strong. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in prayer. Am I communicating? Extra time praying, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You listen to messages. You spend time worshiping God. You read spiritual books. You read spiritual content. Anything that will help you to pray more. Anything that will help you to understand God's word more. The apostle says in Acts 6 verse 4, but we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So your chief focus during fasting is prayer and God's word. And then any other thing that makes you focus on these two. And that includes listening to messages. That includes reading spiritual content that will fire your spirit. Am I communicating? That you will access light and understanding. That anything else that will fuel your passion for God and the things of God. Glory to God. And then of course you walk in love when you are fasting. No bitterness, envy, unforgiveness. You let go of all those things. You can't be fasting and be keeping malice with somebody. You can't be fasting and you are walking in unforgiveness. You can't be fasting and you are bitterness. You know, we should just give you food. Sit down and eat food. That's the truth. If you are fasting and you are keeping malice, unforgiveness, bitterness against somebody, I beg, just carry food, chop. No waste your time. The purpose of your fast is already defeated. Unless you walk in love, your fasting is not profitable. Am I communicating? And then of course, acts of generosity. Some of you are storing your food to eat everything after this prayer. No. Fasting is a period. Say, is it not to give your food to the hungry and the poor? You know, this is a time that you get involved in what? Good works. Okay? Generosity. Give to those that are poor. Give to those that are needy. Instead of storing your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, give somebody. Use it to bless somebody. Reach out to people. Giving is also very important during fasting. Acts of generosity, liberality. When you do that, the Bible says your light shall break forth out of obscurity. Glory to God. The Lord will guide you continually. Make fat your bone. You shall be like a well-watered garden, like spring of water, whose waters fail not. Praise God. So stop putting your food inside fridge. Breakfast inside refrigerator. Lunch, you have warned everybody at home that nobody should touch your food. Which kind of fasting be that one? So part of it is giving your bread to the hungry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you learning something? See, if you really want to be great and successful in this life, let me tell you one major secret. Listen very well. You must be ready to do the things that others are not willing to do. Do you know why not everybody is great? Not everybody is successful? Because not everyone is disciplined enough. Not everyone is ready to do the things that makes for success and greatness. It's not that, you know, there is a problem of ignorance, then there is a problem of lack of the discipline to do it. Even, you know, there are those that end up as failures and end up as nonentities, not because God willed it so, but by their choice. Now, they ended up that way, sadly. Number one, probably because they are ignorant of the secrets of success and greatness. Then, number two, the second possible reason why they ended up that way is that they know the secrets. They know what they are supposed to do, but they did not do it. Their results will be the same as the person that is even ignorant. The one that does not know and the one that knows but fails to do, they will end up with the same result. The reason why is few that are at the top is because those few are the ones that are willing to give it what it takes. They know the secret and they discipline themselves to do what they must do to get those results that they desire. Am I communicating? So that's why I made that statement. If you want to be truly successful and great, you have to push yourself. You have to stretch yourself. You must be willing to do the things that make for success and greatness that others are not willing to do, even though they know. Am I communicating? You must embrace hardness. It says endure hardness. As a good soldier, endure hardness. You must be willing to do the things that are hard, in quote. There's nothing like soft life, oh. You say soft life, me, soft life. So if you go for soft life, life will be hard on you. Failure will hit you hard. Nothing like soft life. You must be willing to do those things that are hard. You must be ready to pray when others are playing. You must be ready to fast when others are feasting, others are eating. You must be ready to study. He says study to make yourself up, to show yourself approved. You must be ready to study when others are just wasting time doing other frivolous things that don't count in time and eternity. You must be ready. You must be ready. Hallelujah. This is very true. A research proved that the people that end up great and successful are not necessarily the most talented people. They are not necessarily the most talented or the most gifted people or the most skilled people. The research shows that the people that end up great and successful are those that have what we call discipline and commitment. Listen. They know the things that they need to do to become great and successful. And they committed themselves. They were committed to doing those things. They disciplined themselves to do those things. Whether they feel like it or not, they disciplined themselves. Whether it is convenient or not, they disciplined themselves. No excuses. They didn't make any excuse. They didn't give any explanation. They were committed. They applied the principle of commitment and they did those things consistently. Let me write two words on the board. Routines and regiment. This is the secret of success and greatness. Routines. Routines. This word, don't ever forget. Routines and what? Rituals. Let me add rituals to it. Routines. 3R. Don't ever forget this 3R. The first one is what? Routines. The next one? Rituals. The third one? Regimen. See, do you want to be great and successful in life? Don't ever forget these 3R. This is the secret of any great and successful person you see on earth. They have certain routines, daily routines. There are things they do daily, daily, daily. What you do daily determines who you become permanently. There are things they do daily. There are prayers they pray daily. There are studies they study. There are things they study daily. There are books they read daily. There are knowledge they acquire daily. They learn new things daily. There are things they do daily. It is part of their daily routine. Become a ritualist. Ritualist is not a bad word. Do you know, when we say become a ritualist, I don't mean go and kill somebody or join cult. Mm-mm. Do you know what it means to be a ritualist? Huh? Rituals. Huh? It means there are certain practices that you must do in a dogmatic way every single day. You are committed to those practices. Whether you feel like it or not, you must do those things. We call them daily rituals. That's why I say become a ritualist. You carry out these rituals and this daily routine in a regimented way. You know, regiment is a military word. In a regimented way. That means carrying out routines and regiment in a regimented, routines and rituals in a regimented way require discipline and commitment. Require discipline and what? Commitment. You must be committed. You can't just be interested. You must be committed. You can never be consistent. Consistency is impossible without these two words. Number one, discipline. Number two, commitment. You must be committed to it. I didn't say interested. There is a huge difference between commitment and interested. To be committed and to be interested. When you are merely interested in something, you only do it when it is convenient. You only do it when you feel like it. You only do it when your feelings are in favor of you doing it. That one is interested, though. That one is just interest. But when you are committed to something, regardless of your feelings, you do it. You do it whether you feel like it or not. You show up every day. Am I communicating? Eleko vraga bagadia. Some of you that are even in school, you know that without commitment, you can never graduate. You won't have that BSc certificate. One of the things education is trying to teach you is commitment. Every day you have to go to school. Abi no bizo temi boss. When school is on session, every day they are trying to teach you discipline and commitment. It's as simple as that. Is it every day you feel like going to school that you go? Okay, count the number of days that you feel like going to school, and then count the number of days you don't feel like going to school. Which one is more? So, listen, if you only do things when you feel like it, you will never be successful in life. You have to drive yourself. You have to talk to yourself sometimes. Am I communicating? You have to encourage yourself. Don't be waiting for external. Sometimes you may die before external encouragement comes. So encourage yourself. Motivate yourself. Drive yourself. Commitment and discipline is very important. What I'm telling you is not part of my message, but you need it. You think without these things, routines, rituals, regiment, discipline, commitment, all of that, without these things, do you think that we'll be where we are today in ministry? If we are only to do it based on convenience, we want to do ministry work based on convenience or based on feelings, do you think there will be AGMI today? We've not closed shop since. So you have to show up every day, regardless of feelings. You think it's every day I feel like preaching, I come to preach? Like during that 21 days prayer and fasting, I was preaching every day. You think every day I just felt like preaching? I just wake up with the feelings. That's minus avalanche of good news broadcasts. If I'm to add that one, it's close to 30 something messages for that period. And you think I was doing it based on interest or convenience or feelings? No. It's because I understand this principle. There's a law of success called the law of consistency. And for you to be consistent, there must be commitment. Eh? There must be discipline. And that is what most people lack. They lack discipline. And that is why success eludes them. Today, they do. Tomorrow, they don't do. No consistency. It doesn't work like that. Am I communicating? These 14 days of glory, even if two people come, I will still be preaching the way I'm preaching. Because I'm committed to it. Because I understand the law of consistency. Am I communicating? I must always show up. Even if the whole world is convulsing, I will still show up. There is no excuse. Even if it's raining cat and dog, gorilla and chimpanzee, you will still see me. If there is no car, we enter that rain and come. It's called commitment. I say it's called commitment. Some of you, rain is a very beautiful excuse why you did not show up. But if we put money, we attach money to it, you will enter that rain and come. Because you value money more than the presence of God. You see, something is wrong with your value system. You need to renew your mind. Am I communicating? Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to be committed, grace for commitment, and discipline that will make me consistent. I receive grace to embrace the right set of routines, the right set of daily routines and daily rituals, the grace to do them in a regimented manner. I just help somebody now. See, this principle applies. It doesn't matter the area of life. It's similar principle. If you want to be successful in any area, it's the same principle. You need a set of... You see, the funny part is, some of us, we see great men. You see anointed men of God. You admire them. Ooh, you like their result. You see people that are up there, you like their result. But let me tell you the truth. If they show you their daily routines and rituals, and you see how disciplined they are in carrying out those things in a regimented manner, when you see it, you will understand why they are successful. You will start thinking twice whether you really, really want those results. It's not by luck. It's not by wishing. It's not by luck. And guess what? They have very boring routine. Those routines can be very boring. Even to them is boring, but they know that they must do those things. It's part of the demands of success. It can be very boring. Those daily routines and rituals can be boring, but in it lies the power to be great and successful. Am I communicating? It was Muhammad Ali that said he didn't like the training process when his coach was training him in boxing. So every day he woke up, he knew he had to go to the gym for training. He says many of those days his feelings was not in favor. He didn't feel like it. But he told himself that if I must be a world champion, I've got to do it. I've got to do it, whether I feel like it or not. That is where discipline comes in. So beyond talent, beyond gift, there are so many talented and gifted people that are flat failures Because they lack these things, I'm telling you. That's why they say talent is not enough. John C. Maxwell even wrote a book. Talent is good, but it's not enough. There must be training, there must be discipline, there must be commitment. All those things must be there. Diligence. You can't even be diligent if you are not disciplined. You can't be committed if you are not disciplined. You can't be consistent if you are not disciplined. Discipline is at the root and core of success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there are different kinds of ministries. There are different kinds of ministries. For instance, AGMI, part of our calling is that God has given us a miracle ministry. It's not everybody that has that kind of miracle ministry per se. Am I communicating? And if you have a miracle ministry, part of the discipline that you must cultivate on time is that of fasting, prayers, fasting. Am I communicating? If you check any ministry that is known for the miraculous, they have a regimented system of fasting from time to time. It's one of those disciplines that you must inculcate and imbibe on time. Am I communicating? I was telling my wife, I think 2 or 3 years back, Dunamis International Gospel Center, there was a year, I think 2 or 3 years back, they fasted for 1 year, from January 1st to December 31st. They fasted every single day of the year. And they were meeting in church twice a day. They will meet in the morning. Was it twice or three times? Sir, meet in the evening. I think there was another meeting some at around 12 or so. They were meeting every day. They were having service every day for 365 days. They were on a fast throughout the whole church. The whole church. Am I communicating? It's one of those disciplines that you must imbibe. Praise God. I'm yet to see any man of God that moves in the anointing. Seriously. That moves in the miraculous, in the supernatural, that does not fast. That does not take prayer and fasting seriously. I'm here to see any. It's one of the laws. Even Jesus, was it not after 40 days and 40 night prayer and fasting that we read that Jesus, the son of the carpenter, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Did you hear of him doing any power things before then? It was after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And then, fame of him spread abroad. Influence. Influence is spiritual. It's beyond posters and ambulance. Influence is very spiritual. Am I communicating? Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Then when you read down, that is when his miracle ministry began. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The anointing. Praise God. Jesus said, when you fast, not if, when. So fasting is not a matter of if, it's a matter of what? When. When you pray, when you fast, when you pray, when you give alms, when you fast. In Matthew 6, he started by saying, when you pray. Then he says, when you give alms. Then he says, when you fast. He didn't say if. What's the difference between when and if? Praise God. I say, praise God. Is somebody learning something? And when you are fasting, please try and have aims and objectives for your fasting. Okay? In addition to the prayer focus we gave you, you should have your own particular aim. Why are you fasting? Don't you have issues? Don't you have things that you are trusting God for? For somebody, it may be direction, guidance. For another person, it may be you need God to come through for you, to help you in this area and that area. You should have clear aims and objectives, the things you seek to achieve through the prayer and fasting exercise. Hallelujah. It's very important. It's very, very, very important. Glory to God. Now, write this down. I plan sharing today the secrets of the supernatural. This series will bless you. Secrets of what? The supernatural. Secrets of supernatural living. You may title it that way. Secrets of supernatural living. Now, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 20. The believer in Christ is not a mere mortal. He's not just a mere man. The believer in Christ is not just a human being, but a supernatural being. You are not a normal, ordinary human being. You are a supernatural, extraordinary being. Hallelujah. If you are born again, you are not ordinary. You are extraordinary. If you are born again, you are not a natural being. You are a supernatural being. So every born again Christian is a supernaturalist. Say with me, I am a supernaturalist. Because you have a divine DNA. You have what? A divine DNA. You have a supernatural DNA. That divine DNA, those genes and chromosomes that code for supernatural living, they are inside you. You were born with it. You were born with it the day you got born again. Hallelujah. That divine DNA that codes for supernatural living is embedded in every believer, is embedded in your spirit. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that Christ in you is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Supernatural signs are characteristics of believers in Christ. Supernatural signs and wonders are ordained to follow or accompany the life of a Christian. Give me Mark 16:17. He said, these signs, and all the signs are supernatural signs. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow. Did you notice that? These signs shall follow. He didn't say believers will follow the signs. He said the signs shall what? Follow believers. He said, these signs shall follow or accompany them that believe. That's the believing ones. He's talking of the believer in Christ. So, supernatural signs are ordained by God to follow or accompany a Christian. Maliko sabalakida, sambresko telida ka brandos kapataya. Supernatural signs and wonders are characteristic of a believer. They are the characteristics of a believer. They are the characteristics of a believer. They characterize the life of a believer. He didn't say these signs shall follow only apostles. Is that what he said? He didn't say these signs shall follow only prophets. It's not only the fivefold ministry gift of apostle, prophet, teachers, evangelists, and pastors that these supernatural signs are meant to follow. God says, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's every believer. Every believer, including you. Including you. Including you. including you. Because most of the times, in our mind, we think the miraculous is meant for a select few, some special men of God, anointed men of God in the upper echelon of God's caste system, as if God has a caste system. You know, India has a caste system. No. Signs and wonders, miracles, the supernatural manifestations are not the exclusive reserve of fivefold ministry gifts. They are the characteristics of every believer. Every believer is meant to operate in them. Every believer. That's why I say these signs shall follow them that believe. Am I communicating? Imagine you are a believer working in the bank. God wants that your banking job to be characterized by signs and wonders. Am I communicating? Signs and wonders, miracles, should not only happen in church. If you study the Bible, Jesus and the apostles, they did more miracles outside the church, outside the synagogue, than within the church. The marketplace is like the perfect place for the miraculous. Am I communicating? Jesus healed more people outside the four walls of the church, outside the four walls of the synagogue. The same thing with the apostles. Glory to God. So you are to carry the miracle working power of God. You are to carry these supernatural signs and wonders to the marketplace. I want to see believers that are working in bank, and as you are attending to customers, suddenly a word of knowledge comes. Suddenly the gift of prophecy is at work. And then you look at him and say, "Madam, excuse me, after you have attended to her, as in you've done your job as a banker," he said, "Excuse me, can I have a word for you with you 1 minute?" He said, while I was attending to you, the Spirit of God just told me that your 3-year-old daughter, who is sick right now, that sickness is not unto death, that the Lord is going to heal her. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for your daughter? Just believe." And then you held hand with her and pray. And then the woman goes back home and her daughter is healed. And you are a banker. Or even as a business person. Glory to God. God wants you to function in the prophetic. It's not only in church. Am I communicating? In the marketplace. The Bible talked about Stephen. Stephen was not a pastor. Stephen was not an apostle or prophet. The Bible said he did what? Great signs and wonders. He did so many miracles. A man full of faith. He did miracles. Am I communicating? That's the will of God. Mark 16:17. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. These signs, okay, let's read. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Next. "They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Can you shout amen? Amen. So it's not only the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors that should lay hands on the sick, and the sick should recover. It says every believer has that ability to lay hands on the sick. Am I communicating? And minister healing to the sick. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." As a believer, You have been authorized in the name of Jesus. You have been given authority in that name to cast out devils, to expel demons, to deliver people from demonic oppression. Am I communicating? You are to function in that name. Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use his name. He gave us his name to function in his stead. And he said, in that name, we are to cast out devils. Why? Because all authority is in that name. All authority and power. God has decided to give us his own authority. Jesus has given us his authority. And then on that authority, based on that authority, we cast out demons. Am I communicating? So the next time you see a case of demonic oppression or demonic obsession or demonic possession that requires deliverance, that requires casting out devils, you don't need to call me. You don't need to call Pastor Nenkub. You don't need to call Pastor Mafeng. You don't need to call my wife. Use the name of Jesus and cast out that devil. Am I communicating? Use the name in faith. Cast out that devil. Because you've been given authority over demons in that name. And that name does not fail when you use it based on revelation knowledge and in faith. When you have the understanding, the revelation of the authority, the power in that name, and you use it in faith, it cannot fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In my name. Monde ke barakataya. In my name. We can expel demons in that name. We drive them out. We eject them. Monte ke bar. The next time you see a madman, don't run away. Don't run away. Don't change road. It's the madman that should change road for you. I say it's the madman that should change road for you. If the madman is possessed with demons, you are possessed with the Holy Ghost. Who is greater? You are possessed with the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You carry the Holy Spirit. The madman carries demons. So who should run from who? Who is greater? The greater one lives in you. He said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You become fearless. You become bold. Am I communicating? Soliya labatia. Meleko vabadia. Some Christians are funny. Common wall gecko they saw in the night. They were sleeping. And then wall gecko came and passed and touched their leg. Jesus. They are calling the name in fear. It doesn't work. The name of Jesus will not work for you when you use it in fear. Then in the middle of the night, 12:30 a.m., they are calling Pastor Muffin. Say, man of God, I said, please pray. You can't imagine what I just saw now. War gecko, my village people, they have come again. I know, not them. He said, in my name, cast out devils. Say, Kai. Say, Pastor Nenkup, this is my cat. The way I'm seeing this cat, this is not how the cat used to behave when I bought it before. This past 1 week, I swear, this cat is possessed. Have you gone to deliverance on the cat? What? They never finish with human beings and a cat. Praise God. If you think your cat is possessed, cast out the demons now. Use the name of Jesus. Every devil bows to that name. You know, when you use the name of Jesus, Do you know that the demons know that they know that you have authority over them in that name, and they know that they have to obey you when you use the name. But the question is, you, do you know? And they will not go until they are sure that you know that you have authority in that name over them, and they are supposed to obey you. Is when they know that, and you can't lie, they will see, they know. When you are using the name without revelation, they know. When you are using the name without understanding of the authority and the power behind the name, the demons, they know. When you are not using the name in faith, they know. So they will not leave. Not because anything is wrong with the name. It is a user problem. I say it is a user problem. So you learn to use the name how? In faith. This is one of the bases for the supernatural. The name of Jesus. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book, The Name of Jesus. E.W. Kenyon wrote a book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. If you see those books, buy and read. To open your eyes. Very powerful. I wrote this. The church began following a supernatural move of God's Spirit with the 120 in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. This was when the church began. And how did the church begin? Following a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit with the 120 in the upper room. So you cannot divorce the supernatural from Christianity. Christianity began on a supernatural note, and it will end on a supernatural note. Am I communicating? Supernatural signs and wonders should follow the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Christ. You know, the gospel is provable by the supernatural. In Mark 16:20, the Bible says they went and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. Hallelujah. Jesus had told them to go and preach. He gave them the great commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. But he instructed them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high. And in Acts 1:8, he said, ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Beginning from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they needed to be empowered. They needed supernatural empowerment by the Holy Spirit before they go about preaching the gospel. So, the gospel is not a natural something. It's a supernatural something. Am I communicating? And when you preach the true word of God, God will confirm his word with signs and wonders. I say when you preach the true gospel, God will confirm it with what? Supernatural signs and wonders. So the supernatural is a confirmation of the preaching of the gospel. Look at that Mark 16:20 I mentioned earlier. Look at this. I'll give you a couple of scripture. I say, when you preach or teach the authentic gospel of Christ, it will be confirmed with what? Supernatural signs and wonders. There will be miraculous manifestation. There will be miracle signs and wonders that attest to the veracity, to the truth of the word of God that you are preaching. They are a confirmation. They attest to the gospel. Signs of attestation. He said they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word they were preaching with signs following. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 14 verse 3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Can you see that God gave testimony to the word of his grace by granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands as they spoke boldly in the Lord, as they were preaching the gospel boldly? God granted testimony. He confirmed it with signs and wonders. Am I communicating? In Acts chapter 19, verse 8, Paul's ministry in Ephesus. Look at this. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. For how long? 3 months. Paul was preaching in the synagogue for 3 months. He spoke boldly, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Next verse. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Paul was disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Next verse. And this daily meeting continued by the space of what? 2 years. Amazing consistency. For 2 years, he was disputing daily. How many of you have grace for this kind of consistency? 2 years. I say 2 years. So that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord. He saturated everywhere with the preaching of the gospel, both Jews and Greek. Next verse. And God. Watch that word. And God. In other words, these miracles, special miracles, were done in response to that preaching for 2 years. God confirmed his word with signs and wonders, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Am I communicating? Next verse. It says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Can you shout amen? So these supernatural special miracles, deliverances, healings of diseases and all of that, they were a confirmation of the preaching of Apostle Paul. Am I communicating? Luke chapter 5 verse 17. Luke chapter 5 verse 17. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? I said the supernatural is a confirmation of the preaching and teaching of God's word. When you preach and teach the authentic gospel of Christ, God confirms his word with miracles, signs, and what? Wonders. Hallelujah. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus was teaching, and the power of God was present to heal them. Can you see that? The supernatural power of God to heal them, the healing anointing, was there to confirm the teaching of Jesus. Am I communicating? It was the teaching of God's word that activated that teaching anointing. Sorry, that healing anointing. Praise God. I say praise God. When we preach and teach the gospel, God backs it up. That's why I always have a little issue with people that know how to argue and debate doctrine every morning to night on Facebook, on all the social media platform. They specialize in argument, all manner of debates about doctrine with no supernatural proofs. to back up their claim. The gospel is provable by the supernatural. Anybody can talk. No, be so. Anybody can talk and argue and debate. You know, the seven Greek word for power. Number one, dunamis. Number two, energos. Number three, exousia. Number four, iskus. Number five, kratos. Yeah, we have too many talkers. Am I communicating? The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word. It's in power. Have you not read it in 1 Corinthians 4:20? Eh? There were people like that in the days of Apostle Paul. Paul said, I will come. When I come, I'm not coming to check their rhema, not their Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. He says, I want to see the power that is backing up all those their grammar. Am I communicating? Woo. 1 Corinthians 4:19. Say, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up. You see, knowledge, head knowledge, puffs up. And they are very proud people. Have you met them? Me, I've met them. Oh. Very proud. Very proud. In fact, some of them, they have enough time to argue online. You reply, they will type one epistle for you. Boom. They will sit down and be waiting. They will be typing the next one to reply you. Paul said, when I come, I'm not coming to know the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. There is a power thereof. Am I communicating? This gospel we are preaching is not an empty gospel. Oh. There is a power. Next verse that follows the word of God. He said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's not in mere speech. It's not in Queen's English. It's not in grammar. It's not in all those arguments and debates. It's in power. Am I communicating? Kondobo rabagadaya. Especially we young preachers, we have to be careful. Oh. You see somebody, his own ministry is to correct fathers of the faith. Wonderful. Yoruba say, Otilo. Otilo. When I hold him, when I help him, say, my own calling is to correct the fathers of the faith. You know. Pastor Adebe was preaching. Somebody say, it's not exactly like that, you know. See, let me tell you something. Let me give you wisdom. Even if the fathers of the faith make genuine mistake, you don't have the authority to correct them. You don't have the authority. You don't have the authority. Even if it is true they made a mistake, you don't have that authority. It has to be somebody higher that can do that correction, not you. Tell me, my calling is to be correction ministry. So everything everybody else is preaching, your own is to be correcting it. Well done, though. Hallelujah. See, the kingdom of God is not in word. You know, some people are funny. They say, you know, my own ministry is just a teaching ministry. We're not onto all these miracle things. Give me John chapter 3. Let me show you something there. We're not on all those ones. Power. Every time people falling down. No. I want you to just teach the word. Just teach the word. Let's find out. The greatest teacher that ever walked the planet. Let's see how his ministry was like. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, master, that's the meaning of rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Is there any greater teacher than Jesus? Okay, let's find out. He said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles. What? Can you see what I'm seeing, tell me, boss? That means there were miracles that accompanied the teaching ministry of Jesus. So, which can teaching be your own? We no get miracle. Huh? With the aid of diagram, explain. The greatest teacher that ever lived, his teachings were characterized by miracles. Is your own different? He said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So miracles are wrought through the partnership of God with man, a yielded man. I'll stop here. You know, I say we are doing introduction, but the supernatural is the greatest way to advertise the gospel of Christ to this unbelieving world. In John chapter 4 verse 48, Jesus said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Except unbelievers see signs and wonders, they will not believe the gospel we preach. Am I communicating? They won't just believe without signs and wonders. That's why the miraculous is very important. The supernatural is very, very important. John 4:48, look at it. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. You see, signs and wonders, they are the God ordained, the supernatural is the greatest way God have ordained that we should advertise the gospel of Christ. If you study the Bible, anytime miracles happen, large number of people turn to the Lord. Am I communicating? It attracts more people than you just coming to speak Queen's English. The gospel is provable by the supernatural, because miracle signs and wonders, they prove that Jesus is still alive. Jesus is alive and is the same yesterday, today and forever. If he healed the sick before, he will heal the sick today. Am I communicating? What he did before when he was alive, he will do today and more. So miracles, signs, wonders, they prove that Jesus is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 4:23. Rise to your feet. Matthew 4:23. I say we are doing introduction today. Secrets of supernatural living, right? Secrets of supernatural living. We'll go deeper tomorrow. Let's read this scripture together. Are you ready? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And Jesus, three important things. Jesus went about all Galilee, number one, teaching in their synagogues, number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, number four, healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. So, preaching, teaching, healing, preaching, teaching, healing, three job description, preaching, teaching, healing, preaching, teaching, healing. Preaching, teaching, healing. Supernatural healing is a confirmation of the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. Am I communicating? This is a life that God has given us in Christ. This is the life that God has given us in Christ. I don't know where how we got to this point that believers, in fact, there are some believers that they don't even believe in miracles. Some are very skeptical about the supernatural. They attribute it to the devil. Anywhere they see supernatural miracle signs and wonders, they attribute it to the devil. Where did we get, how did we come to this point? Are you trying to say Satan can do that, but God cannot do it? When you see miracle, you see healing, you say the person is using Satan's power, he's using demonic power. Are you trying to say Satan is more powerful than God? Yes, I know. There is the demonic supernatural, yes. But there is a divine supernatural. The demonic is a counterfeit version, is a fake and false version of the true one. Am I communicating? Satan, we know, is not creative. He only counterfeits anything God does. The only reason they are fake miracles is because they are what? Genuine miracles. The only reason why there is demonic supernatural operations and manifestation is because there is what? The authentic, genuine one that is divine. The fake is proof that there is original. I say the fake is proof of the original. The fake is proof of the original. Have you ever seen fake 3 naira note? Have you ever seen fake 7 naira note? Have you ever seen fake 35 naira note? Just one note, 35 naira note, one, fake. Why is there no fake 35 naira note? Because the original does not exist in the first place. But do we have fake 1,000 naira note? Yes. Do we have fake 200 naira note? Yes. Why? Because there is an original. So let's not water down and then brush aside the supernatural just because they are demonic counterfeit and fake version of it. Let's not stop believing in the supernatural just because they are what? Fake versions. Because the fake is proof there is original. I say the fake is proof there is original. Did you stop using your phone because they are fake phones? I want you to lift up your voice. Father, I receive grace for supernatural living. I receive grace for supernatural living. This my life cannot be ordinary. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. We have the life of God which is supernatural. We have the word of God which is supernatural. Listen, listen. God is a supernatural God. His word is supernatural. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is supernatural. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. The children of God are supernatural in life and nature. If you don't live a supernatural life, who will you resemble? Who will you resemble? You are a supernatural offspring of your supernatural Father God. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, that supernatural DNA, that divine DNA that code for the supernatural, let it begin to manifest in my life. Let the grace to walk in the miraculous, let that grace rest upon me in this season. Lift up your voice. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Labatose peketena randaga braska patai elofreketiska palatoni randeke brondo sovrahadia elefreke toska balatia ego bagadaya la brandeke pa. The grace for the miraculous, the grace for the supernatural. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. In other words, we are to witness the gospel with
power, 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 supernatural power of God. Listen, a witness is not just a smooth talker. A witness is one who furnishes evidence. He brings forth evidence to furnish and to prove his claim before a judge. And you know, cases are decided based on the testimonies of witnesses. It is based on evidence. Listen, a witness is an evidence producer. We are to provide supernatural evidence that Jesus Christ actually came, he died, he was buried, and resurrected. Am I communicating? We are to produce evidence of his resurrection. When we preach the gospel, we are not just talking. We are not just in an argument or in a contest. We are providing evidence, attesting evidence. We are bringing forth evidence to support our claim, to prove our claim. So that's why we say the gospel is provable by the supernatural. You are going to lift up your voice that in this season, from this day henceforth, I'm not just going to preach this gospel empty like that. I will not preach this gospel void of supernatural evidence. I will not preach this gospel without the power backing. I will not preach this gospel without a power backup. Lift up your voice. Liga bakata, the power to witness. The power to witness with evidence. The power to ikabakataya suprakata, to be a proof producer. And ye shall receive power, and ye shall become proof producers, evidence producers, to bring forth supernatural evidence, to prove his resurrection. He said, with great power gave he the apostle witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. Let great grace to witness with power, to provide evidence, to produce evidence. Let that grace rest upon me.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.